And welcome to Community Kitchen. I've had a little bit of a break, which I think is refreshing sometimes for everyone to get away and just forget about the normal routine. But now I'm back and thanks for listening. I had this interesting chat with someone the other day and they were talking about the fact that they don't know how to cook. Now, for all of us, we really had to start somewhere, which is interesting because I think that I guess once upon a time you just watched and you learnt and you learned how to do things. But if you haven't had that opportunity to watch someone and let them teach you how to cook, it can be a very difficult and daunting task to do. Now, when I think back about the fact that many years ago, as you know, I have done lots of cooking under the banner of Two Old Ducks. And we started out doing, my sister and I, we started out doing back to basics because it all sort of fundamentally starts there, doesn't it? Whether it's stocking your pantry, shopping, learning how to store food. I know it sounds it's a very simple thing, but you can waste a lot. You know those, if things aren't stored properly, you tend to waste. Refrigerating your food, essential for you know, keeping things fresh and not wasting. And, of course, recycling what you can. Whether it be into another meal or whether it be into the freezer for another time. But I think the shopping list for me is one thing that really does make a big difference. And it was interesting the other night I had the opportunity just to sit and watch one of the chefs whom I really respect, and he does this fantastic a meal in a 15 minute. But when you actually sit and have a look at that, everything's prepped, everything's in front of you. All the ingredients are there. So for the example, you and I, the average people coming home from work and wanting to cook, that 15 minute, I think it turns into from about 30 to 45 minutes because number one, you have to prep. Number two, you have to make sure you've got something along that. And this is supposed to be a quick fix, like get in there, do it, and don't have to have takeout or reheat something from some time ago. So thinking along those lines, I thought, really, when you are cooking and you're getting back to try and just cook and learn how to cook, number one is prep. And preparation of your dish is such a really important thing because having those I do this. I have a couple of big boards, and if I'm doing my onion, it's cut up and put to one corner. My garlic's the next corner. My fresh herbs I leave till later, but my veggies are chopped up, and everything has a little spot. And sometimes there's two boards going, because of course I don't want to put the meat next to the veg. I don't know why, because it's all going to mix together at the end of the day, but it just seems a funny little thing to do. And I think also one thing I did learn from my son who was butchering, he always says don't use hot water when you're washing, say, chicken, for example, because it just turns into this real mess to get off your board. So just having those few little things up your sleeve, I love to have a big sink of hot soapy water and one for draining. So I rinse off everything, then I pop it in that sink. So by the time I finish cooking, I really don't have a big mess in the kitchen. But I am a bit of a tidy person, like in how I do things. So I think you do what suits you best. And when finding your place, whether it is learning how to do something, or let's say getting back to basics, I think there's a few little rules. And when you look about your pantry, having that organised in a way that you can find things, and watching that chef the other night, it was quite amazing because, and I was sitting there with a critical eye and really having a look at that and whether or not I could keep up with that pace. I could if everything was laid out on the bench, but knowing that all of a sudden you had to have that rice steamed and, of course, the water was boiling and you had that happening, that's a lot of little things to concentrate on. If you haven't had that training to do that, I really do think you're pushing at 15, but that's just my opinion. But getting back to the back to basics, I think having some items in your cupboard, and we talk about this when you go shopping, making sure that you've got that peanut oil or that avocado oil or the olive oil. And each time you go, just pick up a little item. You don't have to go every time and stock the whole pantry. But it is going to make life a little bit easier. Frozen vegetables, they're a great addition. They're always good. Just have a little look, but it is quite difficult to find full Australian ones. You've got a sticky beak in the in that little freezer a little bit to find those. But your basic vegetables, I mean, having potatoes, carrots, onions, pumpkin, parsley out in the garden, some garlic, once again looking for that, try and get Australian, and some just some seasonal stuff. I made a dish last night, and just at the end of it, very simple, I did some full chicken thighs. But I chopped lots of leeks and just simmered those down, a little bit of oil and butter, took them out. Then I put the chicken thighs in and browned them. Then I took them out. Then I put the leeks back in and put some stock in there. Then I put heaps of carrot, fresh corn, parsley, salt and pepper, put the chicken back in, and I put some little bits of those little tiny noodles in there. So it was sort of like a stewy, soupy thing, but it was so nourishing and so delicious. And just at the end, of course, I had a little bit of garlic in there, but at the very end, I just put some lemon zest all through the dish, and I had put a little bit of fresh ginger in with the chicken when I cooked it, and it just took that to the next level. So when in these next couple of weeks, when we're going back through these basic things, we're just going to talk about some of those little tiny things that just lift the basic chicken cooked in water with some onion and garlic to chicken cooked in stock with some leek and a little bit of ginger and a little bit of lemon and some carrots and some goodies like that. And honestly, the nourishment and the enjoyment you will get out of that extra taste just by adding that little bit. And I think that that's the pleasure of cooking and watching people, because I used to love watching the oldies, you know, especially my mum and all those people years ago. You'd have your aunties around and everyone had that little trick. There was something that someone put in the gravy or someone put in the white sauce. And even to this day, you'll notice that a lot of the chefs will just do a little bit of that fresh nutmeg into a bechamel sauce, a white sauce, and it just lifts it to that next notch. So that's what we're going to go through, because I thought it was really important to, I don't know, we're just meant to listen to that, I think, because we've got lots of different things to learn and share. So the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at those back to basics. But when I come back, I'm just going to go through a few little things, and we may have done it before, but even something as simple as eggs. So stay with me, Community Kitchen, and you're with Annette. And welcome back to Community Kitchen. Of course, we've had a bit of a break here on Community Kitchen, so we're back into it now, back to basics. We've just been talking about the pantry, the shopping, the storage, the refrigerator, what you can do. And each week we're going to touch on these subjects. Next week we're going to talk about different dry stores and tin foods. But now, some of the basic bases that we can do. And honestly, it has to be eggs, doesn't it? I mean, a really good scrambled egg, a really good boiled egg, they can go, they can hit the lunchbox, they're just so versatile. And you know, it's the timing, isn't it? Like, to make a really beautiful soft egg, I love the old idea of a boiled egg with toast soldiers, as the saying goes, and I do that for 4 minutes. I find that I put my eggs in and I put the top my phone on now for 4 minutes. It's perfect. It's just so nice. I usually have my eggs out on the bench if I'm going to have boiled eggs, because when they're cold, you can play a little bit of a problem there. 6.5 to 7.5 minutes for medium, and 10 to 12 for a hard-boiled egg. Now, I think, you know, there's lots of different tricks for these eggs. I find, because we've got our own chooks, peeling a really fresh egg, it can be a nightmare because it just doesn't peel that well. But I've found over time, it's leaving it in that cold water for longer than normal after they've boiled, to really let them chill up, that they will come off there. But I bring the saucepan of water just coming up to a little bit of a bubble, and I've got a big good stainless steel slotted spoon. I just put the egg in there and just slowly move that in there, and that will just allow the egg to get comfortable with the boil. But 4 minutes for me is when the yolk is runny and the white is firm. It's not transparent, it's firm and cooked. And now poaching an egg, there's all different theories on this. I know that I watched Gordon Ramsay cooking an egg, and what he does is he gets a whisk into a saucepan. He really gives that a good whisk up, a little bit of vinegar, puts the egg in, and that's when you get that fantastic little twist on the top. I find in the morning, because I like a poached egg in the morning, I just get the water to the boil. Then I might pretty much turn it off and just put my egg in, and I'll just put the lid on that, and I'll go and do something and put my toast in or whatever. And by the time I've sort of come back and had a little bit of a look at it, it's getting there. So that's an easy way to do it. But usually you just crack it into a bowl first, and then you just tip it in the simmering water. You just need it to just move a little bit. You don't want it to boil, because otherwise it tends to fall apart. But just that gentle simmer is absolutely beautiful. Scrambled eggs. I love scrambled eggs. I think they're beautiful. It's the only time I just really love tomato sauce. I think we talked about this just recently, about how people like scrambled eggs. Fresh parsley in scrambled eggs is absolutely beautiful. And that's another thing when we're talking about back to basics. Someone was saying the other day that they love to buy basil when in season, of course. But if you get dill, parsley, basil, say coriander, for example, and a couple of other different things, it works out to about $20. Whereas if you have a pot and water it every few days and put your parsley in there, even your spring onions, stick them back in, put the ends back in, they will sprout. I just chop the top off mine and they just keep coming up. But parsley in scrambled eggs is just delicious. It really is nice. Even a little bit of leftover cheese, you've got a good bit of parmesan sprinkled on top. I mean, scrambled eggs can be whatever you want it to be, but there's so many different options. But I don't add anything. I'm very generous with my butter, and I basically just keep pulling that egg into the center, and it just keeps getting fluffier and fluffier. And Mummy just gave the saucepan a shake, but I don't know, she had this ability to shake the saucepan and make things happen. I didn't actually get that from her, but I find that just a quick spoon, move with the spoon, it works quite nicely. Just turn the heat off and it'll set. Omelets are also so quick and versatile, and you know, omelets can be interesting because you can either have a fluffy omelet where you actually separate the yolk and the white and make a souffle omelet. So you beat your eggs up and you make the egg white stiff, then you fold that in, and you can grill that in the oven too, and you can make those fantastic fancy Chinese crab onion omelets with sprouts in there and some really good oyster dressing on it, oyster sauce, or you can just have it as a plain omelet. So what I'm saying is all these basic dishes lead on to something a little bit fancier down the track, but learning the basics is a really good starter to learn how to make these dishes. But I find also for an omelette, I know that when we were catering and we used to have a lot of different food allergies, an omelette, if you just beat up a couple of eggs and just cook a really thin, like a pancake, and make a stack of those, then you can line them with like a cream cheese, with capers, purple onion, maybe some salmon, some dill and some parsley and some chives in there, and roll that up. That's fantastic. Put them in the fridge, then cut them up into circles. And that is a wonderful, really cheap and economical little savoury. So there's lots of different things that you can do with eggs. And apart from the fact that you can make an egg and bacon pie, you can make a frittata, you can make French toast, which is a great breakfast, I think, for children, because they get that egg, a little bit of milk I always put in there. But you can use lots of different types of breads, plain bread, grain, fruit toast, brioches. People do it with croissants. You can knock yourself out and use whatever you like. And you can sprinkle it with cinnamon and sugar, which is what we used to have when we were children. Or you can really get a little bit fancy and really up that into something like a grilled bacon and maple syrup. Maybe a fruit and yogurt, grilled bananas, stewed apples, cinnamon. So knowing the basics, you can then take it up to the next level. And even something as simple as a bacon and egg quiche, the old story, nothing too fancy, can become something of extraordinarily tasty dish by using different combinations. But the basic four eggs to 2/3 of a cup of cream and 2/3 of a cup of milk is going to make that set. And that's what you need to know, is those quantities, which is the basic ingredients and the back to basic ingredients to get you cooking to that next level. Join me next. And each week I'm going to share with you something a little bit fancy just to get that adrenaline going in the kitchen and take that basic into the next level. Of course, you're with Annette on Community Kitchen. Welcome back. We're talking back to basics. Each week we're going to share different little pointers on things just to take you back into that pantry and have a little look about and try and save some money. But at the same time, enjoy your eating time, which of course is one of the pleasures of life, isn't it? It's just beautiful, I think, to eat nice foods. It doesn't have to be expensive. It just has to cook and sort of sit nicely on the plate, I think. Pasta. It's one of those really economical things. Have a look. There's just so many different varieties. You've got your long strands of spaghetti vermicelli angel hair, the long and flat with fettuccine, tangellini, linguine. They whole sauce really well. The tubular, you've got your macaroni, the penne, the shells. There's just so many, and there's so many beautiful shapes. And risotto, for example, is shaped like rice. It's beautiful in soups, makes a wonderful salad. And the fill shapes, the ravioli, the tortellini, the anglinotti, and there's lots of them. And you know, the one thing I know about it is children love it. So when I saw our little fancy bit today, I bought this fantastic magazine the other day, and it was, you know, all different Italian recipe, and it was more of a travel thing, actually. It was a gourmet traveler with the Italian issue, which had some beautiful recipes and ideas. But one thing I really did love was the four ways with pesto. Now, if you've just got something ever so simple, like a little bit of leftover pasta that you've cooked, or you're just cooking something for dinner, a broccolini and almond pesto. How beautiful does that sound? So once again, we're just using something very simple. You're going to have some broccoli, some almonds. You're going to have some roasted almonds, maybe not, but it doesn't take long to do them. So you'll probably have about 2/3 of broccoli flowerettes, about a quarter of a cup of parsley, roasted almonds about a quarter of a cup. I find I roast my almonds when I'm doing something else. If I'm cooking chicken, for example, or baking or something, throw some almonds on a tray in the oven or whatever, nuts, because you've got them when you need them. A grated garlic clove, a zest of half a lemon, and about 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and about a half a cup of olive oil. Just process the whole lot. And that would be absolutely delicious, just folded through a little bit of pasta. Pea and mint pesto. How delicious would that be? And that could have so many different... I mean, I would love that if you just cook peas and then just put that extra pesto, because I do love it. Even sometimes I love if I've got pesto on a bit of toast and then a poached egg on top, just delicious. So with this particular one, you're going to combine 2 cups of frozen peas, 1 cup of mint, about 1/2 cup of grated parmesan, about 1/4 cup of pistachios. If you don't have pistachios, you can use any nut. Walnuts are good, almonds are good, whatever you have. Pecans are good. And once again, about 1/2 cup of olive oil. But the pistachios would really bring that green, and wouldn't that just be absolutely delicious? Another thing I love too is potatoes. If you steam some potatoes, good old regular potatoes, steam them, not in water. I love my potatoes steamed. I'm going to talk about doing veggies down the track, because they don't seem to get waterlogged. And when you mash them, oh, they're absolutely delicious. So if you actually steam some potatoes and toss that pea and mint pesto all through those potatoes, how delicious would that be? Another is your traditional basil. So you're using about 2 cups of basil, about 1/4 cup of toasted pine nuts, garlic clove, and olive oil. That's your basic. And then a rocket and walnut. Now, I love rocket. A lot of people find it peppery. I just love it when I go out in the garden, and it tends to self-sow, which I think is delicious because you've got all these little tiny bits of rocket coming up. But even if you put that little bit extra into a salad or something, it is delicious. But a rocket and walnut would give that peppery. That would be delicious. Cup of basil, a cup of rocket, about 1/4 cup of roasted walnuts, and they're different, aren't they? And they're beautiful. About 2/3 cup of parmesan, 1 garlic clove, and about 1/2 cup of olive oil. And if you do, you can always put a little bit of walnut oil if you have it, and 1 tablespoon of lemon juice just to give that lift. And that's just some very simple things that just take something like a bowl of pasta or some steamed potatoes or a poached egg or a piece of toast or a cracker to that next level, just having those. Now, these will store. And what I do, number one rule, always remember, don't dip with a dirty spoon or knife. It's just a no-no because you contaminate it. But after you've taken what you need out, sometimes I just pour a little bit more olive oil in the top. It just gets better. And you'll just keep eating that down, and at the end of the day you can use that as a base for a dressing, and you don't waste these things. But beautiful if you want to make pizzas, it's a good base for that. And I just think that these things really do lift up and heighten your meal. So travel with me on Back to Basics, and we'll be doing that over the next few weeks. And to Bob out there, I hope you enjoy this, Bob, and I hope you learn some really good little cooking tips. Thanks for joining me on Community Kitchen.